whole responsibility is to make sure that their people are safe and happy and healthy. None of those three things can exist when gun violence is constantly on the rise. Gun violence and gun death is the leading cause of death for children. That just does not make at all sense to me. And I feel like to most people, I've never heard someone say, I wish there was more gun violence, so why don't we do something about it?
Mia, you're sitting there in your brown sweatshirt. You have survived a shooting in your stomach. How are you physically doing right now? And what are your plans in this last minute we have? School's out now. They've canceled it. They're looking for the gunman. What are you going to do?
Yeah, physically and emotionally, a school shooting takes your whole life and flips it upside down. I'm still healing from my physical injuries, and it will be a process that probably takes my entire life. Every single doctor's appointment, it is something else that has to come up, or even just if I'm getting something checked out that's completely irrelevant to what happened to me, they have to know I was shot in a school shooting. And with these, you know, coming days, I'm going to Massachusetts and then I'm flying home on Wednesday, which will be great to see my family. And then after winter break, I'm not entirely sure what campus will look like, what things will look like. You know, our student body needs
we have 10 seconds,
support
Mia.
And community more than anyone, more than anything else right now. And I just hope that we can all come together as much as possible.
Mia Tretta, I want to thank you so much for being with us, a junior at Brown University, longtime gun safety advocate. She herself survived a shooting from Saugus High School in Santa Clarita, California. All the best to you. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Are you ready for another year of grassroots community radio? With your support, it's possible. Go to kboo.fm/give or mail a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214 to contribute to KBOO's $75,000 goal for our KBOO Fights Back campaign, going on now until December 31st. What better way to celebrate than by gifting your loved one a KBOO membership this season?
Tune in KBOO this Monday, December 15th at 11 p.m. as Gremlin Time once again presents Catherine Dunn reading the Father Christmas Letters.
The interest and importance of Father Christmas extended beyond his filling of their stockings on Christmas Eve, for he wrote a letter to them every year, in which he described in words and pictures his house and his friends and the events, hilarious or alarming, at the North Pole.
So tune in KBOO this Monday at 11 p.m., as Catherine Dunn reads the Father Christmas Letters by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. We are broadcasting 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis. Via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is Monday, the 15th of December, 2025. It is approximately 8:02 a.m., and you are listening to Cecil. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and thank you for, from where I'm sitting, it's a typical rainy morning and dark early on. But things are changing always. So thank you for taking time from your day to sit and hear some morning conversation. And to have conversation, we need people to be in dialogue with. So I invite you to give us a call when you are so motivated to share your thoughts on our topics this morning. Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. And that would be so great for you to remember those numbers and to give us a call. Again, I'm Cecil, and thank you all for joining us. And there has been so much that has been happening in our world today. Before we get to the most recent headline, let me just lay out in terms of what I hope that you might take some interest in and respond to. Frequently at the end of the year and as a new year begins, we are inundated with lists of things that have happened, and lists of things we want to happen in the new year. Now, while they may be somewhat trite, we may feel the numerous lists because there are so many and cover a multitude of topics or interests. Nevertheless, I think they may be helpful in reflection and on planning. So what are your general observations of this past year? How would you characterize it, and why or what do you predict about the year that is coming? What direction do you believe it will take? So reviewing the past year, what lessons you may have learned, what insights you gained, and what were the, if not the most important, the issues that caught your attention and perhaps keep you up at night to worry. And then looking into the year that is about to begin, what are your observations? What are, I don't know if you have a crystal ball, but your prediction, what are your plans on how we might meet the challenges of this coming year? So give us your thoughts and about things we can reflect upon. A couple of things that I also want to share with you. If you were listening to the program that aired just before we came on air, Democracy Now!, part of the program was a reflection on what I think characterized many years, the gun violence, the mass shootings, here in the United States, in Rhode Island at Brown University this weekend, trying to make, well, I don't know if you can make sense, but also the shooting in Australia on Bondi Beach as people gather to celebrate Hanukkah. And this cycle of violence that always seemed to be unending, especially in our society. Perhaps you have some thoughts about those, and what are ways in which we can begin to address these issues of violence, and how do we carry ourselves whenever we become aware of these incidents of, I don't want to say casual, but occasional mass shootings and unlike Australia, they are very frequent in these United States. What can or should we do about that? So those, I'm interested in hearing your reflections. Also, I was engaged in a number of conversations in recent days. And this is in relations to the gross, I'll say that, words and actions of the president. Now, many of us, whenever we hear the president, I'll speak for myself, it's saying, there he goes again. But I'm wondering, maybe because of I had the opportunity to listen to his speech where he was supposed to be talking about the economy and affordability. And I thought it was also interesting that he chose to talk about the economy at a casino. But in that, he went into this very blatant racist screaming, and it was so, it hit me in such a way that it went into my soul. Is this, and this is just his speech at the casino, maybe would just highlight what we all know, we certainly do know, in terms of the racism, the blatant racism of this administration, in terms of how it character, in terms of policies, roll back on human and civil rights, and the blatant racist rhetoric and dangerous rhetoric of this administration. We can't apologize or excuse it anymore. But let's hear some of your thoughts. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. Maybe you have a list of things that you were concerned about this year, what you anticipate for the next year. But I think our caller has some thoughts to share. Janet, good morning. How are you?
Happy Hanukkah. Actually, I was thinking about skipping back to our topic about the conversation between Martin Buber and Mahatma Gandhi. Kind of
yes.
Seems to me like now I turned 80, and for 40 of those years, I started off at four as an Orthodox Jewish person.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather, he died under a willow tree and opened a synagogue, and he was a poor tailor, and we were the humanistic kind of Jewish people that kept the door open and made a bigger bowl of chicken soup during the Depression and all that kind of thing. Not the ones that were tossed this crazy idea from England to go to Israel and then perpetrate what had been perpetrated, all that craziness. But what I really appreciate about going, I call myself a Jew-boo, mm-hmm. that even Jesus, he thought, okay, I'm going to get up out of here, and went over there to really bring back compassion and love to people. And the humanity, I think that's so exceptionally essential in our world, where people aren't be thinking, okay, you just die and you're better somewhere else. But the thing I really appreciate about the idea of Buddhism, the Lotus Sutra, is our behavior as a human being is what really matters. And I think that probably Mahatma Gandhi was saying the same thing to Martin Buber about an eye for an eye. Is this going to be the blind, leading the blind around to craziness, and we're all going to get injured if we can't really recognize that our humanity means recognizing that what are we doing? What cause are we making in this moment that we can actually have a conversation with some rational sense and caring for each other, and and not just be caught up in talking points about some other bubble somewhere else, but to look within ourselves, find a place of peace. And like my friend, she published this book about inner happiness is the way to world peace. Mm-hmm. If we don't really come from a place of unity within ourselves, there can't be any solidarity outside, politically, psychologically, to have families that aren't going nuts trying to buy every damn thing, to pile things up under some tree. But the tree of life means how we're rooted. And then openness is the great root where we can talk to each other and heart to heart like we are here on your awesome mm-hmm. platform. Thanks, Cecil.
Wow. Thank you, Janet. I'm just going to reflect on that. I don't have a response. I appreciate your sharing what I think is the essence of all, if not common humanity, being ability to reach out and share those things that can, if not bring us together, lead us to a place where we all experience health and safety.
The only other thing I would like to add to it, because I can appreciate, like, it was funny, I take my granddaughter now. She's got my great grandbaby. We go to the grotto because I pick her up, and her mother was doing hair, and then she look at the statue of Mary. Says, "Is that Aunt Tori?" But I think the fact of, you know, whatever religion we have or whatever as mothers, to me, what sense is there that this one kid, he comes to my house at 18, and he's from Mississippi. And his birthday, his mother said, "Well, you're turning 18, son, you're going in the Marines."
Mm.
And so the fact of women really, that they're givers of life, to be nurturing, that we don't go into this crazy thing about gender, this and yada yada, whatever. Not trying to say that people, this this defensive aggressive bind that's got all humanity caught up in some time of crazy insecurity and not having a ability to see the important things that we're all human beings,
yes,
with everything aside. So thanks so much. I'm not really be able to articulate this, what I'm trying to say, very good, but we're trying, right?
That's right. That's all we can do. Hey, thank you so much for your spirit and for just reminding us of our common humanity and how we can build bridges. Thank you so much, Stan.
We're going to go with the nice flow. Thanks.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Next up is Lenita with some words of wisdom. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy Kwanzaa, Cecil.
Happy Kwanzaa. Yes. Oh, good. I got my Hanukkah greeting in and got my Kwanzaa greeting in. Okay. How are you?
Yeah, we need someone to give you a Christmas greeting. Then you'll be set, right?
Okay, I will be. Yes, indeed.
I just wanted to respond to your, you were like Godsmack when you watched the latest Trump performance.
Yes.
And I do not think he's running the government. I think people like Steve Miller and his kind are doing the actual running of the government. Yeah. Voight, they had this plan, and Vice President Harris told him long ago that this was the plan. What is it? Project 2025, and they are implementing it at breakneck speed. And he's out of it. And what you observed this weekend at that casino, to me, that's how he always is.
Yes.
And he's writing those executive orders. You have to form a bunch of sentences together and has some kind, at least the 8th grade writing skills, and homie doesn't have it.
No, he doesn't. But I want to go back to a point you raised when you began, you know, about who's in charge of the government, and you know, Steve Miller or others, and whoever is in charge. I mean, it seems it seems to me that this administration is so blatantly racist vocally, and not only in policies, but is it like the most racist presidential administration since, you know, Woodrow Wilson, when he had, you know, Birth of the Nation in the White House? What do you think?
Well, they're certainly more overt with it when you look at what Nixon did. And, of course, we're still living under the shadow of what Ronald Reagan started in 1980.
Yes.
And I just want to tell you how humble I am to listen to your listeners and to have KABU out there and other communication outlets that are fighting this and not capitulating. Mm-hmm. And that should be the theme of 2025, do not obey.
Do not obey. I like that. Oh, I'm going to write that down. Do not obey. Theme for 20.
Do not obey, Cecil. Happy holidays to whatever people celebrate. And I'm very proud of you, Cecil. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you so much. And I like that theme. She said for 2025, maybe for 2026, do not obey. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil. And next up is Santiago. Just 1 second, and we'll have Santiago up. Hold on. Are you there? We might have lost that caller. Please try again. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And our engineer Ray is, he only has two hands, and I think he's using two, and he needs a third one. So let's see. Okay, good morning. Molly, are you there?
Hi, Cecil. Yes, I am. It's been quite a while. I listen every day.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, I should say every Monday to your show. And I just want to say, as a citizen of the world, how much I appreciate you continuing this. I'm, of course, a member of KABU, and I contributed with the holiday spirit. But
yes,
what I want to talk about is, I guess, spiritual and political. I don't know why I'm calling, except that with the what happened in Australia, what's happening, is so disturbing. And I have to say that I am one of those probably rare people that wasn't raised in a religion. My father is a marine biologist. He believed in evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize now that that's a rare thing. And because of that, I was very interested all my life in religions and the spiritual part of life.
Yes.
And I did go to a Quaker school in my high school years, so that's why I called in, because they believe in, if you feel moved by the spirit, so I guess that's what happened to me this morning.
Oh, wow.
I'm moved by the spirit of this season, season of peace on earth, goodwill to man, which I always believed as a child was what was biggest feeling of this time of year, when the world kind of goes to sleep and there's time for contemplation and inward thoughts of all of us as a people. And you mentioned Martin Luther in the early days, and then there's also the Martin Luther King and Gandhi and the people. And so I guess me as one person, I'm just calling in to try to spread the peace on earth, goodwill to men, at a time that's so disturbing and dark in our world, because always this has been there, always there's been darkness and persecution and in the world. And you and me and all the people that are just trying to hold us all together in this dark time like a candle in the darkness, it really does matter. And so I guess I want to thank you at this time for continuing on through the darkness, and all the people that call in, and all of us together trying to hold that light at this dark time. I just want to say I love you, Cecil.
Thank you so much,
Molly. I love you for what you do. I've never met you, but I know I love you.
Wow.
And I'll just spread that to all of mankind.
Well, that's right.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Thank you so much, Molly. Thank you for your kind words and for just spreading the joy and spreading the light around.
Right.
Okay. Well, you take care. And well, you know, you went to a Quaker high school. I went to a Quaker college.
Excuse me?
I said you went to a Quaker high school. I went to a Quaker college. So.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. The religion is simply, I wish in politics we could all be in one group of making this world a better place instead of this opposition. And I wish in religion, the spiritual part of all of us that started as beings around a fire that noticed the planets and where we are in this universe and that we're part of this universe, that spiritual aspect that has always been in man and other animals too, for that matter, I think.
Yeah.
But words are hard at a time like this with everything, but I guess I wanted to say something and now I can't remember.
Okay.
Just that... thank you, Cecil.
Well, thank you, Molly.
For everything you do. And KBOO for continuing on. Without the funding of the government, we still can go on. And that is a spiritual cord that holds us all together as beings in one consciousness.
Indeed.
That we can spread that light. Oh, I know what last thing I wanted to say is the great Buddha, just another person, a human being that walked this earth, but he left a great message, like Dr. King and Gandhi and even Jesus and all these people that talked about love.
Indeed.
That he said, be a light unto others, because then you're a light unto yourself. And if you're a light unto yourself, then you can be a light unto others.
Wow.
And I know you're a light unto yourself, Cecil, because you spread it to others. And thank you for letting me talk. I'll get off.
Okay. Thank you so much, Molly. Take care. And you are listening to More Talk Radio. I am Cecil. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We just heard from Molly, who was talking about how we are all connected, and in terms of spreading the energy of being light. Let's go to our next caller, and I think Santiago is back. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, I like what Lenita said about the theme for this year being not to obey, mm-hmm. you know, but I think going into 2026, I think we got to go beyond just not obeying, but actually like actively creating a unified resistance. I mean, we've got a lot of different groups out here that are, you know, that are providing sort of like a way for people to kind of like air their grievances,
yes.
but we're still in the midst of a liberal complaint and is starting to breach a radical critique.
Yeah.
And so going into 2026, you know, I think it's a time to question, you know, because the United States has made it its mission to take all of the liberation movements that it could co-opt that were fundamentally anti-capitalist, anti-imperialist, and anti-colonial, and fold it into the message of America being this great democratic experiment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really disingenuous, because you know the greatest people who the greatest leaders that we had in terms of liberation movements were fundamentally considered anti-American, and it wasn't until they won and the establishment found a way to fold that win into it that it was considered American. Like, you know, Martin Luther King was one of the most hated men in the world, hated men in the United States by the government, along with Malcolm X, you know, Cesar Chavez, even though he was kind of assimilationist,
mm-hmm.
you know, Corpi Gonzalez, you know, there were a lot of great leaders who understood that, you know, what America stands for and what it claims to stand for and what it actually delivers for black and brown folks, queer and trans folks,
yeah.
has never been real. And, you know, and I think, like, you know, and I'm not surprised by what Trump says, because this is who Trump has always been.
This is true.
And this is
yes.
what America has always been.
Right.
You know,
hold. I'd like to affirm what you just said. You know, this is what Trump has always been, and this is what America has always been. So often we hear, I've heard, you know, and people remark, you know, this isn't who we are, or this isn't why I voted for this candidate. And I were pushed back and using words that I heard from you. Yes, this is who we are. This is how we built this this nation, and this is who we've always been. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially coming from white liberals and white progressives, you know, they want to jump over the spot where there is accountability taken for the state of oppressed peoples in this country. They want to skip over that step where there has to be healing, and they want to jump right to the unity. But the problem is, like, how can you unite with people you don't inherently trust?
All right. And, you know, and let me ask you mentioned in terms of liberals, to say that again, they want to jump over without...
They want to jump over the space where they actually take accountability for the oppression of black and brown folks.
Okay, you know, yeah.
Trans folks.
Right, right. Hold on to that.
Jump right to the unity.
Right. I think I agree with you. Where do we put those who aren't liberals, MAGA-like conservatives, who don't even want to talk about that? You just want to erase, you know, brown and black people. I mean, should we just hold on to the liberals because they're better than the MAGA folks, or are there any hopes for
the liberals? No, I mean liberals are like the nice relatives who promise to take you to Disneyland, but something always comes up at the last minute. They promise you they'll do it next time. Whereas the conservatives are the people who just say out and out no.
Okay.
And I think it's more refreshing to hear an out and out no than it is to get false promises every 4 years. And the thing is that liberals and small L liberals and conservatives are both big L liberals under liberalism, meaning that they are fundamentally dedicated to the protection of private property and the private holdings of the means of production. And so even if you manage to get some concessions out of them, ultimately they will side with the establishment that wants to keep private property. That's why a lot of people talk about the idea that when you cut a liberal, a fascist bleeds, because ultimately the liberals in the past, as a group, I'm not talking about individuals, because individual liberals can say what they want, but liberals in general, they have always sided with fascists, and that's what we're seeing right now. That's why the Democratic establishment, as far as its higher-up leadership, is not breaking rank.
Let me ask you, because you give a very thorough analysis, and you began by stating that, you know, up till now, or this year, I forgot the exact words you used, but it's sort of like a critique, you know, saying, oh, this isn't working right. How do we move from, you know, liberal critique or being this is inconvenient to a more radical analysis and in terms of organizing? So how do we move, you know?
Well, the real answer is really boring, and I know it's going to suck to hear, but the thing is, people need to start reading actual, like, communist and socialist literature. I'm talking about Lenin, I'm talking about Castro, I'm talking about the Black Panthers, because so much, or Kwame Ture, somebody who was deeply involved in the civil rights movement but has been all but erased from it.
Right.
You know, because the fact of the matter is that they fundamentally understood that the system isn't broken. The system is functioning exactly as it was intended to.
So I want you to answer this. How do we make that move? You know, and yes,
well,
we should read these people.
The move is. I mean, first of all, everybody who works needs to be involved in a union of some kind, because that is a great place to organize. But the other thing I tell people is you need to be involved in radical revolutionary parties, people that are interested in not just who aren't interested in trying to get wins every 4 years, but are fundamentally trying to change the system at hand. Because we have a ultra-right conservative bloc that has been at work for 80 years through losses and wins to essentially take back the concessions of the New Deal.
Yeah.
They waited 80 years, and it took them 80 years, but they were focused on the long game. These liberals are not focused on the long game, so we need to get involved in parties that are focused on the long game. I'm talking about American Indian Movement. I'm talking about La Raza Unida. I'm talking about Party for Socialism and Liberation. I'm talking about Black Panther Party.
Right.
People who are interested in giving you the education that will actually free you and not just keep you locked into this, into like this Groundhog's Day cycle of just ping pong between two parties that are not remotely interested in freeing people.
Okay, great. We have to move on. I appreciate your your call and your passion, and for your declaration that we need to move on, and perhaps in 2026. We can make those efforts. You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil, and we will next hear from Art, who has some thoughts to share with us. Good morning, Art.
Oh, hi there, Cecil. How are you today?
I am well. It's raining earlier, but, lighten up. But, yeah. How are you? Thank you for calling.
Oh, well, I thought about calling you the show a few weeks back when you were discussing topics, the topic of socialism. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that show? There was a legislator in North Carolina who came up with a measure that would... See, the word socialism couldn't be used. They wanted to restrict its use. And I went to his website. Mm-hmm. He said he was elected last November, and I got a little bit of a very small from his site there. But what he said was socialism and all its forms.
Mm.
And that's a generalization. See, all its forms. You know, what kind of socialism was he talking about? All of them. So I've been struggling or wrestling with the definition of terms, and I just added socialism to those political terms between the left and the right.
All right. But
all right.
I wonder, I don't want to cut you off from the point you want to make, it occurs to me when we hear terms like people throws it around, like socialism, I don't know what people mean by those terms, or if they know what they mean by those terms. So socialism in all its forms, what?
Right. Well, I think what Harrigan is a name from North Carolina, but I think he was pointedly referring to nationalist socialism from World War II.
Okay, Nazism.
Yes. And the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics from the USSR, following World War I until it disbanded.
Yes.
But that's not an accurate definition of socialism. But
no.
So that's what he was pointedly, the legislator was pointedly using the word socialism to make it appear the worst thing as a fall.
Right.
So that's not a very good definition of socialism. But so I worked with a list of now seven. I just added socialism to democracy, liberalism. Socialism is in there, but in that pack, and on the right, the ideology of liberalism with contrasted with conservatism, and then capitalism, republicanism, and on the far right, fascism.
Mm.
Well, that's a series of political terms that vary from right to left, and that sort of took them apart one by one and compared to get a better understanding of how we are not really fully understanding the terms that we, you know, base our opinions on.
Yes, yes. And why is it? I mean, is it because we don't teach that in schools? Is it the clever tricks of those in power to make sure that we never understand who we are or what we say? Why is that?
Yeah, that's the question, all right. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 19th century, the 20th century, mm-hmm. fascism came to power, came to rise in Europe.
Yes.
And I say the basic definition of fascism is a form of government controlled by powerful business interests.
Mm-hmm.
It's primarily. And then secondarily, its authority is enforced by racist factions, not whole groups of people, but factions within groups, the worst of the worst.
Yes.
Racism within factions within local police, state militia, and vigilante, and these powerful business interests.
Yes.
So it's the right wing wanting to control the entire population.
Hmm.
And on opposite side of the political spectrum, there's democracy,
hmm.
which is its intent is to serve the will of the majority. Whereas on the opposite, fascism, they want to serve only a minority. And they want to pit the rest of the whole majority against each other.
So how...
I've been working with,
go ahead.
Working with that. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, you know, I appreciate your defining those terms, because I think for many people, the terms roll off of our lips without any thoughts or reflection. So that's very helpful, what you said.
An incomplete thought.
Yes.
Or where's the...
Yes. Okay. I like it. Yeah, incomplete thought. Yes.
Well, let me add two more things to it, kind of broaden the discussion a little bit. But there's fascism and democracy. They are systems of government.
Yes.
And so now in the middle, where you have ideologies, you have the liberal ideology on the left and the conservative ideology on the right. And they're ideologies because they sort of transcend the sides. There are liberal views held by conservatives and conservative views held by liberals.
Mm.
So a discussion about political spectrum can get into that point where the majority includes a fair proportion of conservative thought. So the Democratic Party has to, in order to serve the majority, include a fair proportion of conservative thought. But unlike the right-wing side of the political spectrum, the Republican Party doesn't want to even serve a majority of conservatives. They're so focused on the minority of the powerful, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I want my... I'll
okay.
Leave,
well, thank you.
Well, I mean, one last thing. I think going into the future, whole next year to deal with, it's not Trump so much that's behind this, in charge. It's the Republican Party, and specifically those members of the Republican Party that want to remain anonymous. They don't want to get out in the public and reveal their intent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was that a good political conversation there?
Yes, I appreciate it. Yeah, yes.
Okay, then. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, and for laying it out, definitions and the importance of being very clear who we are and what we say and the meaning thereof. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil, and I just want to thank our callers. Our last caller, Art, As well as the other callers, where else can you, on a Monday morning in the middle of December, have a conversation about fascism and socialism and how people might respond? And also, let's throw in Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. I think it's so important to have community radio, and I thank you all for being a part of this experience. And I know many of you are members of KBOO, and I just want to remind those of you who are not that you have the opportunity to participate in KBOO's 2025 year in drive, KBOO Fights Back. We have a $75,000 goal that we would like to reach. So for this December, think about what are ways in which you can give, in which you can share. One way you can do it by becoming a member of KBOO. And if you are a member, consider increasing your monthly membership. We are a community base, volunteer, empowered community resource for all people. So why don't you go to kboo.fm, click on our donate button, and be a participant in change. In the meantime, give us a call, 503-231-8187. We've had some great conversations this morning about who we are and in terms of how we can respond to the challenges we face. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. If you call that number, we will speak to you after we speak to Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. How are you this December 15th?
Well, I'm working, Cecil, to become what I'm often like to be, which is dangerously well. It's a little more difficult sometimes when these days are so short and the nights are so long. And that's why we celebrate Hanukkah
light.
With our Jewish friends. It's the festival of light.
Yes.
And what we need, what all of us need in our lives, is more light and less heat. Unless, of course, we're in the electricity business and we need heat to boil water, to create steam, to turn turbines so that we can have power coming out through our outlets in our walls that we will pay entirely too much for because of power companies who themselves are part of the problem.
Yeah. So explain that those terms, more light and less heat. What do you mean by that?
That's often said of arguments, generally speaking, is that somebody has something to say and blah, 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 blah. And what they're doing is they're providing more heat and less light. And when it comes to our intercourse, and I use that word guardedly, in case there's a 13-year-old boy listening, we need more light. Mm-hmm. We need less heat. And a lot of rhetoric can tend toward heat and less light.
So,
light alone illuminates the thing that we want to discuss. And if there's any light at all that I want to provide this morning, Cecil, it's, there's two things. Number one is it's time for every listener to step up to the plate, join the fight, because KBOO is fighting back against the forces that would repress our efforts to provide light in conversation with each other. And the second point is there is such a thing as conservationism, and it should be an essential part of what we call conservative. Now, the mother would often put up fruit from the summer harvest, from the autumn harvest, into cans and jars.
They
were called preserves.
Yes.
And they were called conserves. The conserve is more than one fruit in that jar. And now, in many ways, these modern far-right Republicans are preservatives because they want to preserve things just the way they are. We're so happy.
Uh-huh.
When a true conservative values everything so much that they conserve everything. It's like that uncle of yours that wraps rubber bands in a ball. Everything is conserved. Nothing is wasted.
Right.
A true conservative is a conservationist and makes every effort to bring everyone along and include all that we have. So,
well, let me ask you, I want to explore that a little bit more in terms of a true conservative as opposed to what we see manifested a lot in our political fields right now. Recently, I'm sure you're familiar with, in terms of the pushback Trump received from the Indiana Republican legislature, they said no. And I wonder why. And I'm thinking, you know, Indiana Republicans, are they the type of conservatives you are talking about as opposed to MAGA types? And, you know, Mike Pence. And do you have any reflections?
By their behavior, mm-hmm. as a group, they have demonstrated an ability and a willingness to stand up and fight back, if you will,
yes.
to bring it around to the KBOO membership efforts.
Mm-hmm.
But, I applaud any effort by the Indiana Republicans who are famously, indeed, very right of center.
Yes, right.
I have many, many issues with the politics of Indiana, but I'm glad I don't live there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sorry that they have taken such a front row seat in so many affairs over time. But there were some good Indianans as well.
Yes.
Among them, Pete Buttigieg, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't he from Indiana?
He's the mayor of...
Mayor of a city of Indiana. But I'm not going to hold the politicians. I'm not going to hold against the people the role that their politicians are playing, because the people, even though they've elected these politicians, are greater than the politicians. And the people in their everyday lives mm-hmm. are conservationist conservatives.
Yes.
Very rarely are they preservationist conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really thank you for being there. I hope that you got my Christmas card. And
If you
haven't, you can keep looking for it.
Okay.
Our friends in the Postal Service, one of the hardest working bunches in America.
Yes.
The letter carriers.
Indeed.
Will deliver it in good order, I hope.
Indeed. So, thank you so
much. Thank you so much for your service to our community, and I urge you to carry on.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your thoughts and for your words of wisdom. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO. Our number's here, 503-231-8187. Last caller, Jeff, was giving us some thoughts about, I was going to say principal Republicans, but in terms of, he laid it out in terms of conservatism and preservatists and made a distinction. We had some discussion about the pushback from the Indiana legislature pushed back to the president and their resistance to him and creating a more gerrymandered map. And we'll see what happens. And referenced former Secretary of Transportation Peter Buttigieg, and just couldn't remember. He's the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana. So, yes, he is an Indiana person, and, you know, as was former Vice President Mike Pence, who also resisted Donald Trump. So, we are at this place in our society that it's an opportunity to reflect on where we have been this year and where we are going. It's been very helpful for me to hear the thoughts of many of you this morning, reminding us of the possibility of we can be light. It is obvious why there's so much emphasis in these months in the Northern Hemisphere about light. And we have these holidays that celebrate lights, Hanukkah and Kwanzaa ceremonies where with candles, with lighting candles, a very important part of these traditions. They remind us that in darkness that we can create light. They remind us that a small candle can bring light to a place where it appears to be overwhelmingly dark. Not that darkness is anything wrong with it, because it's an opportunity to reflect. It's an opportunity to move on. But also with darkness, there may come a possibility where someone has to light a candle and share the light. And the light, the possibility of it being able to not only brighten one's path, but give hope, shed hope around. I think those are the lessons I receive from some of these festivities of this year in concerning light. Whether it is symbolic of light that is able to keep a community going when there is so much to keep them down, we have the possibility to light a candle. As an early caller reminded us, we are the people who can make the change, and we are the ones who can not only live into a new reality that we want to create together. So in this tight season, when darkness is around, let us just walk in the dark, knowing that we are not walking alone, that we can share light with one another, and that if we do so, we have the possibility of creating a better world. So as this year, calendar year, comes to an end, I would encourage you to reflect and also to ask the question, where have we been this year and where are we going? Where would we like to go? Let's not get stuck with just analysis, but also let us be inspired by action. There has been much that grieves us this year, but also there is much that can give us hope for next year. Not because we are naive, but because we are so very realistic and we know who we are and what we can do. My friends, thank you so much for being a supporter of community radio station, for being that light to your neighbor, to your friends, to your community. Thank you for all that you are doing. And when you are discouraged, remind yourself that there are other people around who are there to help, support, and transform. So when there is so much grief and sadness and sorrow, let us be light and hope and inspiration. You are that hope. You are that inspiration. And thank you all for being faithful members and listeners and supporters of community radio. Stay tuned if you're listening live for the OMO Variety Hour, and you will hear an episode hosted by Pat Kochberg, which will include segments about finding home, Sister of the Road, and Welcoming Home Coalition, and the work they are doing to learn and to help those who are currently houseless. This has been More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil, and I will speak with you next time.